Om Gyanatya Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmavitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Tayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Satatantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivat Adi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sham Ashram in Colombia. I think for this Sunday, what I'll do is I'll kind of just tell the audience about the festival here and then what I did. And I think some of you may have gone to the Lotus Festival, the Bhakti Center, which is really nice. But you know, I'm a connoisseur of events and festivals. And it's like rasa. When you're connoisseur of something, then everything has to be perfect that you don't appreciate it. Just like if you're a connoisseur of food, Jiva Goswami mentions, and you cook sweet rice, everything can be perfect, but if there's too much saffron or too little saffron, if there's too little sugar or too much sugar, if there's rice is too thick or too watery, a connoisseur will not appreciate it. So actually, connoisseurs are very important because connoisseurs keep the standards. Therefore, in society, there should be an aristocracy, actually. Aristocracy is not a bad name. The aristocracy was actually the universities. Yeah, the aristocracy, you have to pay attention, otherwise they can't. The aristocracies were the universities. The universities were the one place in society. The purpose of the university initially was not a trade school or an extended version of a high school, but it was the place in society where all the other values of the society were maintained. That's what the university was. And that's where the connoisseurs of art, of social structure, of all the different aspects were. You know, I'm living next to Jai Jagannath, and he took a 100-day challenge of making pictures of philosophical expressions. So he showed me the one this morning. It was really great, you know. Yeah, kid is raising his hand in the classroom. The teacher is sitting in front, you know, on the board, and all the students are there. He said, when are you all going to teach values in this place? You know, I forgot what the teacher said, something, you know. This is about training people for the workforce. And in fact, modern education, there's a book called The Dumbing Down of America by John Gotti. It's some kind of Gotti. It's not the mafia guy. But Dumbing Down of America. And he described that the modern educational system was specifically based to train people to work in the Industrial Revolution. That's why they're factory schools at first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade. Anyway, getting back to the point, so I think, obviously, you know, I'm not a connoisseur of dressing. I'm not too much a connoisseur of eating. You can basically feed me anything, and I'll say, good prep, Prabhu. But when it comes to festivals, I'm a connoisseur. I'm not easily pleased, but I was really pleased yesterday. Incredible decorations. Incredible. I mean, really amazing. The flower decorations, I mean, everything, the whole thing. And we had Dunya and Bali and Jai Jagannath. You know, incredible kirtans. The Great Feast. Yeah, Great Feast. The setting. Like Krishna says, one of the qualities of Krishna is he's that an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. Buddha says to Krishna, you're an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. You pick the most beautiful night of the year, the full moon and the Shrat season, with the most beautiful people in the best place, Vrindavan. So, little connoisseur here, it is the beautiful atmosphere. Our temple room is open practically on three sides, and the beauty of it. You know, and then, you know, of course, we had a beautiful Abhishek, a wonderful kirtans, and then about 100 people came, generally educated class of people dancing in kirtans. And I'm also pretty hard on myself in classes. But this one, it came out okay. And I'll share with you, it was just my strategy. You know, John Mastani is the most difficult lecture, because the subject is Krishna, so it's like a whole philosophy. So, and then the audience is new, and it's quite mixed. I really had to think of like a strategy. And I realized before you give presentations like this, you shouldn't just sit on the seat. It should be figured out beforehand. And I was just sitting and I was having a hard time, but I was just meditating. You know, a narrative. What would be my narrative for the class? That's so important. What my narrative? There has to be a story. Even a philosophical exposition, Meeta, why is she working? It's your day off. Tell her. Okay. Okay. No, Kaveri, come back. I need the audience here. What? Okay. I got to do quick, because if I have an audience and it breaks, and then very quickly, I'll be right with you. If there's no audience here, then if there's an audience on the phone, I feel everything's on. Okay, back. So this was kind of my strategy. And then I'll explain you what I did. My strategy was, you know, I have the experience of being in Vrindavan. You know. And now I'm coming here, which is a contrast. Right. So my strategy was to explain that to them what the Bob is like in Vrindavan on Janmashtami. And then after explaining that, saying that here I have to explain Krishna. So I gave them my definition of Krishna, which led into Leela. And I had to do it in a half hour. Can you hear me? Can you all hear me?
We can hear you, Maharaj.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. So this is what I did. But the first thing that's important is to have, first thing that's important is to have an introduction that draws the audience in. And I remember I was sitting out here, it's where I'm giving the class, by the way. It's a hacienda in this beautiful veranda looking out to our lotus pond and the beautiful peacocks and horse and dog, and it's just sublime. I mean, actually, I'm telling you this right now, I feel like laying down on the couch, bending down and just eating grapes. You know, it's too much here. But the preaching is going great. So my narrative, so then I thought of something that's really interesting, because I want to explain to them how Krishna's birth is transcendental. This is the opening. My opening was, I want the mothers here to think about their first, having their first child. Right? Having their first child. Was it a joyous occasion? So how can you deny that experience in God? And then I said also the men, the fathers, your first child, it's a joyous experience. Then I explained the concept of dana vir, which is an indirect rasa, is vira or chivalry. You experience love through chivalry. One of the types of chivalry is dana vir. Haribo, Camila, Haribo, Haribo. Is chivalry. And one of the types of chivalry is, I know on this, is Dhanavir. And Dhanavir means the chivalry of giving charity. And the example is the father, when his son is born, you know, hands out cigars. In most American traditions, except those cults, which don't take tobacco. So Krishna, you know, Nanda Maharaj gave elephants, he gave chariots, he gave palanquins, and then I broke into my Sahaji of Vrindavan Bob and started to spontaneously sing the song, Nandakeya Nandabaya Jai Kaneya Lauki Jai Kaneya Lauki Jai Kaneya Lauki Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Pa. You know, and I looked at the audience because I'm very careful with the audience, you know. But it's Colombia. Anytime there's music, there's beat, people are in ecstasy. So they were just in ecstasy. And then I explained a little bit about the mood, you know, Vrindavan. And, you know, I got into the thing about birth. And the analogy was, how can God take birth? Does that mean, you know, and if he's enjoying birth, then it's a one-time event. His parents are enjoying birth. It's a one-time event, you know. But in the eternal realm, the events happen eternally. And I gave it, the simple analogy is beautiful, like the sun. You know, you experience dawn, but dawn is existing for the sun at every moment of time, in some place on the planet, and so is noon, and so is evening. So I tried to give them some sense of that. How it's transcendental. And then I said, because, you know, we're in Vrindavan, there's 5,000 temples and everybody's celebrating, you know, this is maybe your first Janmashtami or so. I want to explain who Krishna is. And I gave my own definition, which I explained will not be, cannot be translated into Spanish because it's an English pun. But I explained the pun so people would understand. And I would say, what, half the audience understands English? Yeah, half the audience is English speaking. And I said, Krishna means God with his guard down. And then I explained that concept, how position covers personality. This is such an important thing, that the fullness of being is personality. And position covers personality. So we say Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, not the supreme position of Godhead. Of course, he is the personality. And I explained other things, you know, there were so many nice points that come about this, that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and what that means, and how being is most manifest, not in position. And I describe in Prabhupada the example of a high court judge is a classic one. His fullness is at home. And told the story that Prabhupada told about this with the people appreciated, Prime Minister Gladstone and the French ambassador. And of course, I made some ethnic, you know, French slur describing the French ambassador. Come on, there's nothing wrong with it. A little ethnicity and racism every once in a while. People do have common qualities. It doesn't mean you have to judge people individually about that, but, you know, you can make some jokes based on, you know, comedians today, they won't even go to colleges and tell jokes anymore because, you know, people will be offended. But, you know, a lot of jokes is conditioning. And people are, you know, there are certain groups of people that act the same way, but you don't, you deal with each person, right? So I had to, you know, the French ambassador, you know, he's building up how he got so upset, and he's waiting, and he had a meeting, and it's an hour late now. And he busts into the Papa Thomas, so the Prime Minister Gladstone, the English Prime Minister, and he's all, on all fours with his grandchild on his back. I gave so many examples of that, why Krishna plays his flute. The jazz instrument can amplify your heart. You know, you can't do that when you have you're in a position of reverence like the White House or something like that. There's a protocol and things. And then got down to the definition of Krishna. It's given actually in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the definition that's given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Akila Rasamrita Murti, the full embodiment of love. The full embodiment in love. And I said, love makes the world go round. Rasa Vaisaha, the ultimate reality is love. And love manifests in relationship. When there is love, there is concrete expression of love. I think there's a lot to be said about the reasonability of our theological conceptions. I'm not talking about the proof, but the reasonability, because people say, oh, this is so unreasonable that God has a girlfriend. But my, you know, amour, my love, that's the most real thing. Right? I that's why I wrote that in my drama, a reasonable conception of divinity. And the first principle is everyone is looking for pleasure, and pleasure is love. If that's the guiding principle here, why shouldn't it exist in the ultimate reality? It's reasonable, right? It's reasonable that if this comes from God, then the beauty in it that we see, how can we logically deny that it should exist in the absolute reality? Why is it unreasonable to think that the things that seem to be foundational and existentially enjoyed by us, which is relationships, why shouldn't they exist there? Even if we may say they may be tinged with this, they may tinge with that, they may be a little selfish, well, you know, you may even have those conceptions. A tinge means there's something there that's beautiful. Even if you make that claim, even if you want to make a dichotomy between those relationships and the divine, which one doesn't have to do, But even if you do, you're still saying it's contingent. It means there's something real. There's something real that we appreciate, that's pure. And why should it not exist in that ultimate reality? And love exists in relationship, and therefore Kilarasamrita means that God has multiple relationships. These are classic points I've made, but I think they're clear that when you see a person, you don't see the person just with your eyes. You can only see a person if that person chooses to reveal himself to you or herself to you. Most of what someone is beyond the eyes. Even the mental disorder of autism means a person can't see beyond the eyes. A lot of what we see is the mind based on what we see with the eyes. But if you don't carry what you see to the mind, you know, someone will be coming to kill you and you won't know it. You won't know there's anger behind those expressions. You don't see it in the expression. It's something you're seeing the mind. So also seeing the God is seeing something so much deeper. In having a relationship with any person, when you see their form, that's not the person. The love that they give you, that's the person. Your father, that's the person. Your lover, that's the person. Your child, that's the person. So I said that to Sri Krishna, and then I explained Leela. And I briefly gave short stories in each. But I really only covered the Vatsalya Ras. How God appears as a perfect child. Told the story of Muckenshur. But before I told the story of Muckenshur, I told this story. Actually, Giridhar Swami came to New York the first time in many, many, many years. Maybe 40 years, I don't know. He wanted to see the place of Tamal Krishnamurti's childhood pastimes. Because Tamal Krishnamurti grew up in Harlem, on the far west side corner. So we met with Kasturba, his disciple, and Giridhar Swami, and then we were going to take a walk all the way through Central Park to the end. We saw the place where he used to play ball in the field, and we saw the school where he would throw the ball. And we saw all these things. And we're sitting there at the beginning, congregating. There's about five of us waiting to congregate. And it's just like a simple dressed New York guy on the bench. And we're talking. We're standing before him, and he looks up. He says, "You know who your Krishna is?" We looked. It looked like, oh my God, this is going to be aggressive. And he said, "He's a butter thief." And then he began to laugh. And then I joke with Giridhar Swami. I said, "You see how enlightened New Yorkers are?" I said, "You go to the West Coast, Santa Barbara, that plastic place, you get any Bob like that? You get any Bob like that?" And I think I started telling him New York stories. I'm standing on Fifth Avenue, guy walks out of a building. $10 million apartments. He looks at me, he says, "Hare Krishna." I said, "You know us?" "Yeah, I know you." "So you have any place here?" I said, "Yeah, we got one in Brooklyn." "I don't go to Brooklyn." He said, "I don't go to Brooklyn." "No, I used to go to your place on 55th Street. You should take prasad there all the time." And I used to walk, and when you go out from the restaurant, you walk by the temple, and I saw your new gurus there. And every class I heard when I passed by, they said, "You got to follow the guru. You got to follow the guru. You got to follow the guru." And then he looks me in the eyes, points my finger, and he says, And then you sold the building against you. He said you sold the damn building against your guru's instructions. But Krishna's a butter thief, Makanchor, beautiful. Child, young, intelligent, naughty, breaking the butter, feeding it to the monkeys until they can't eat. And then when he gets chastised, he says the monkeys can't, the butter's rancid. He said him. And then, of course, I didn't tell the story, but which one would I tell? With Krishna blowing the flute to call the gopis, how he amplifies his heart. He amplifies his heart. It's so sweet. And how they hear his voice. They hear his voice and through that flute calling them. And then the gopis come to Krishna as the rivers are flowing towards the sea. The rivers are flowing towards the sea. Harpi dam natavara vapu karniyo karnika yam bibrad vishad kanika kapi sam vijayanti samalam. Anyway, we had quite a nice time. And there's piety here, you know. Yeah. It's a Catholic country. Of course, we hear all the horrors that also happen in the church. I've heard one person explain it. Yeah, how can there be so many horrors, you know, in a church, an institution? I like the way they explained it. They said, well, look at the Catholic Church. No one saved as many people. No one killed as many people. No one had as many saints. No one had as many sinners. No one had as many celibates. No one had as many debauchees. The institutional question is always difficult. You need it. But everything that has value also has challenges, like water in a boat. The same thing that keeps the boat up is the same thing that sinks the boat. So, but that being said, there is something beautiful about the principles of love of God that come through in various ways, and that the people here have that. It keeps families together and piety together. So the people are so receptive. It's not sectarian. When you actually experience love of Godhead in your heart, it can't be sectarian. Because religion is not a particular faith. It's the nature of the soul to love God. And if you have a sense of that, then you'll see it in others in a different faith. So I see that, and the Catholic people see that here. It just seems Christian denominations have a certain fanaticism, but I don't see that here. It is like, no, it doesn't enter into their mind. They immediately respect people who worship God, even though the God is blue. But they sit there and it just seems so reasonable. I know that this one very nice lady who's becoming a devotee, now she's helping people. And their children go to the best schools, you know, and it's very in the area we are, the people of that status, you know, it's more American than America. You know, they go to English schools, they're in golf tournaments, tennis, you know, equestrian, you know, these kind of... Her one daughter always comes to see me, and she's very... You know, they're very well-behaved. Of course, she's 13, she's fighting her mother. But, you know, she sat, I asked her what she remembers. You know, and I thought maybe they'd be thrown off by the mythology, what seems to be mythology or something. But they get the point. She said, yes. You know, she said, I said, what do you remember, Sophie? She says that that the full manifestation of a person is their love. Such a beautiful concept. Okay, I'm going to leave some time now for questions. And those of you that, you know, we started late, thank you for waiting on. And I guess tomorrow will be Janmashtami. We're going to celebrate at the ISKCON Temple today, which is another wonderful, beautiful bhav. And then you actually feel, you know, Prabhupada's mercy, how he put this culture and this bhakti in every place in the world. It's like such a nice thing. And of course, here, I mean, I think it's like the perfect, what a center should be like. There's just so much fresh air and beauty and you're never cooped up in a temple because it's open on 2.5 sides, and you know the bugs don't come. You don't need. But again, you know, I've come here, service to Prabhupada with kind of an understanding of the way Bhakti Siddhanta preached. Bhakti Siddhanta made Krishna consciousness available to everyone, but he focused on those who had influence to do so. Because if you look at it, name the people that Bhakti Siddhanta, and same thing with Lord Chaitanya. Who are the people that Lord Chaitanya preached to? Rupa and Sanatan. Home minister, the chief minister. Raghunath Das, the son of the wealthiest man in West Bengal. Gopal Bhatta, the son of the head of the biggest temple in South India. Jiva Goswami, the nephew of the chief and home minister. Raghunath Bhat, his parents were, I think, Tapan and Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's disciples. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the chief logician, and the head priest of the temple in Tirupati, or some kind of thing. And then Marj Prataparidra indirectly was the king. And then Bhakti Siddhanta was focused on the Bhadralok. He's focused on the Bhadralok, which were the cultured people that were taking the English habits. And when they come to the temple in their suits, and Bhakti Siddhanta would give them the brahmacharis would give them a chair and fan them. So, same way in South America, give Krishna consciousness. Everybody, it's the food for life, we participate in it. But if you can reach the educated class, especially in these countries of the haves and have not, they have tremendous influence and they can do things. Just like it's such a pleasure, you know, we have a yoga studio and we didn't want to manage the yoga studio ourselves. We wanted to concentrate more on spiritual aspects of the place. And two of our congregation people, so sweet. But they one was managing a bank, and one was, you know, now they're housewives whose children are getting a little bit older. But to see the culture and the way things are done so competently, you don't have to train these people. They can train you how to do things responsibly. So that's our mission. And it's so great to have Dunya and Bali here. They're so educated and cultured and fine. So that's it. Okay. Are there any questions?
You are unmuted.
I guess because I'm doing another phone. Yeah, what's the question? Any questions? Okay, a few people say hello. I don't have the same technology here. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Wow, so loud and clear. Kishori Radha, so loud and clear. Kaveri, Taser Vasing. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard Lee, and who else?
Sri Gandharvika.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming on. Wonderful. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? We're going to get a new technology. I'm always behind. Rutti's trying to push me a little forward here. I start things that are cutting edge, and then, like, I started doing the media stuff years ago, and, you know, now it's so much more sophisticated than freeconference.com. But, yeah, anybody else like to say hello? People, I can hear them trying to press buttons and muting and unmuting, and it doesn't work. Okay, I'll be headed out now. Thank you. I was very determined here. We did get it on. Okay, why don't you go put me the circuit?